Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, June 14th, 2018. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Campers Learn About Teamwork While Being a Kid, by Paul Sweech. Hudson. Isaiah Sizemore has made several discoveries since he's been at Camp Limberlost, and the biggest one has been about teamwork. Among camper activities at Camp Limberlost at East Bay Camp at Lake Bloomington this week was a team-building activity. Isaiah, 12, learned something that even some adults don't know. "When everyone works together, we have fun," said Isaiah, who just completed fifth grade at Cedar Ridge Elementary School and recently moved from Bloomington to McLean. "So we learn to work together. Learning how to communicate without yelling, how to listen, how to be respectful, and how to work together are among goals for Camp Limberlost campers, who are identified by their teachers in Bloomington District 87 and McLean County Unit 5 as students who otherwise would not have a summer camp experience," said Camp Dean Alex Maldonado. He worked at the camp as a counselor for 7 years before becoming Camp Dean last year. But the other goal of the week-long camp is for kids to come out and enjoy themselves and enjoy being a kid, Maldonado said. "We're having them be able to learn skills and conflict resolution, but ultimately it's giving kids a chance to be kids," agreed Scott Sybring, a member of Bloomington Kiwanis Club that has sponsored Camp Limberlost since 1940 and supports it through fundraisers. Limberlost, attended this year by 106 students, going into grades 3 through 6, is intended to give campers an opportunity to do things that they wouldn't normally do, said Camp Director Kim Stubbe. The staff includes 28 counselors, 4 support staff, and 2 volunteers. "Some campers are from low-income families who can't afford to send their children to camp for a week," said Maldonado, 26, a normal native now working in the St. Louis area. "Hopefully, we're putting more positive role models in their lives, and they can take what they are learning into the schools and wherever else they are," he said. "When you help kids in need, you help the community," Sabring said. "I come here to have fun and enjoy time with other kids and be outside," said Isaiah, who is at camp for the third year. "You could just be outdoors and see animals that you wouldn't see in town. I saw a raccoon and turtles and a catfish that was, like, this big," he said, extending his arms as far as he could. "I really like the animals," Isaiah said. "They are interesting, and nothing is the same." Isaiah also enjoys swimming and kayaking. "When I kayak, you get to choose your own way to go," he said. "You are in control." Asked what he would tell potential campers, he said, "Don't be scared of the bugs. If you don't mess with them, they won't hurt you." Ocean Mivita Ilibo, 9, of Normal, who just finished fourth grade at Glen Elementary School, is a second-year camper. "It's fun, and I get to learn to do stuff I don't normally get to do, such as staying overnight in a cabin, making new friends, and playing on the beach, including tug-of-war in the water. I like spotting wildlife," she said. "I saw fish in the water and a groundhog. I think it's pretty cool because I don't normally see wildlife in my backyard, only bunnies." "On the bus ride to camp, I saw farmhouses," Ocean said. "That was cool. And I saw huge fields of corn spreading out really far." "My least favorite part of camp is the bugs," Ocean said. "But everything else is very awesome." The next story is entitled, Judge Orders Arrest of Father, Bloomington Mom to Pick Up Son in Boston, by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. A Bloomington mother will soon be leaving to travel to Boston to pick up her son, following a judge's order Wednesday that the boy's father be arrested for failure to appear at a court hearing. For the fifth time since Associate Judge Leanne Hill ordered him to appear in court with his 4-year-old son, Michael Cadena failed to attend the McLean County Family Court hearing. The judge ordered authorities to bring Cadena back to Illinois, where he must post $25,000 to be released from jail. After the hearing, Amber Buck said she is pleased with the court's order that also gives her temporary custody of Mikey Buck. The mother, who has not seen her son since Kadena left Illinois with him about 8 months ago, hopes to leave soon for Boston. "I'm sad it came to this, but I'm excited to see Mikey," said Buck. Buck's lawyer, Tristan Bullington, said Buck will work with a counselor to help the child adjust to his new life with his mother. This is the fourth or fifth time he has been ripped from his home in the last couple of years. "Obviously, this isn't the ideal way for things to happen," said Bullington. Kadena was found in indirect contempt of court for his refusal to return to Illinois with the child. In a series of recent court hearings, Buck has sought to have the boy's father arrested for his failure to return her son. Kadena's lawyer, Adele Saff, had argued the arrest warrant should be stayed until a Massachusetts court hearings on Kadena's efforts to move the family court case to that state. In a social media posting Tuesday, Kadena indicated he would not be in court and expressed concern for the judge's anticipated ruling. Kadena claims the boy was emotionally and physically abused by Buck before a court awarded custody to the father. Buck, who is on probation for meth-related charges, said after a recent court hearing, "She has been drug-free for 2 years." The child was placed in state custody until a court ruling returned him to his father last year. Buck was found fit as a parent 8 months later. Buck's travel plans will be finalized after some coordination with Massachusetts authorities, who will assist her with retrieving the child, said Bullington. Hill did not schedule additional hearings in the child custody case, saying she will wait for Kadena to be returned to the Illinois courtroom. And here is another front page story headlined, "Hotspot Denied Liquor License Over Neighborhood Worries," by Kevin Barlow. Bloomington. An East Side convenience store will lose its ability to sell packaged liquor under its new management. The incoming owners of the Hotspot Grocery and Liquor at 1102 North Hershey Road have been denied a liquor license by the Bloomington Liquor Commission because of concerns about the neighborhood. The store is on the northwest corner of the intersection of Hershey and Empire Street and within a block of Todd and Kettysburg Drives. "It is an area that is a hot spot for us, pun intended, and it's one we want to keep a very close eye on," said Mayor Terry Renner, who heads the commission. "It's one of those areas and neighborhoods that could conceivably flare up and then flare back. It's a concerning area." The store has had a liquor license to allow the sale of packaged alcohol for consumption off the premises. But Pravin Kunur Patel and Shivbabi Patel were not granted a new license Tuesday following a lengthy discussion by the three-member panel. "I'm concerned with the impact on the immediate neighborhoods around the area," said Renner, who was joined by Commissioner Jack Batwell in raising concerns about the license. Assistant Police Chief Greg Scott told the panel that since the business removed gasoline pumps several years ago, there has been less traffic at the store and there have not been any known problems of alcohol sales to minors. The Patel brothers, who attended the hearing, told the commission the same employees will be held over to help operate the store. "Our sales for alcohol are about 10 to 15% of our sales," said Shibli Patel. "We keep our alcohol behind the counter and off of the floor." Commissioner Lindsay Powell was the only member in favor of granting the license. "I think it's unfortunate the neighborhood is going downhill, and it's hard for me to take a license away from a store that has not had any issues," she said. "If you take away liquor sales from this spot, they will go across the street to Thornton's. It feels wrong to punish them for the apartments behind them. I have never once had an issue there and believe it is well run." The city clerk's office said it has not yet received official notification of the change in ownership, indicating the liquor license is still valid under the current ownership. A clerk at the store on Wednesday indicated the store was still selling liquor. The Patels could not be reached for comment Wednesday, and it is unknown when the transfer of ownership will be finalized. Batel said his concerns included the proximity of the YWCA, which is across the street, and the fact that a number of youths walk in the area. I have personally been involved in interactions going in and out of the property, and I've had challenges by patrons of it, Batel said. My concern would be for the kids walking back and forth to school. Ward 5 Alderwoman Joni Painter attended the hearing and said she has received complaints from residents who live in the apartments behind the store about the foot traffic between the apartments and the store. I don't think we need to glut the area with liquor stores, she said. Liquor and crime are a bad mix. It's a high crime area. An apartment building on Gettysburg recently burned down, she said, adding Orchard Road, the scene of a shooting in which two people were killed and two were injured early Sunday, is 4 minutes away. 4 years ago, when the convenience store asked to have a liquor license, there were concerns. But as time has passed, the area has declined, she said. With Renner and Beto clearly against granting the license, Powell declined to even make a motion for a vote. The license was effectively denied as a result. Here's a story entitled, Cleary Leaving Unit 5 Board, Budget Approved, by Julia Evelsizer. Normal. Joe Cleary will be resigning his position on the McLean County Unit 5 School Board, which leaves two vacancies at the table. Cleary, who was appointed to the board in 2016, announced Wednesday that he will leave the board this summer after accepting a teaching position at California Polytechnic State University in San Luis Obispo, California. Cleary, of Normal, currently teaches construction management at Illinois State University. I hope you continue the good work at Unit 5, said Cleary to the board. Me leaving has nothing to do with the health of the community or Unit 5. It just so happens I was given a tremendous opportunity that checks all the boxes for me and my family out on the West Coast. Cleary and his wife Carmen have two school-aged children enrolled at Unit 5. His vacancy joins the board seat left earlier this year by Jim Hayek, who accepted a new position with State Farm in Phoenix, Arizona. Candidates who applied for Hayek's seat also will be entered in the upcoming application pool for Cleary's spot. The application window for Hayek's seat closed Tuesday, but the closure date for Cleary's seat is to be determined. Before Cleary's announcement, the board approved an amended district budget for the 2017-18 school year with a total operating cost of $169 million. Jumbled payments from the state have left a surplus in the Unit 5 budget for the latest fiscal year, which ends June 30th, but district business manager Marty Hickman said a structural deficit sits under the surface. Collectively, the major operating funds, education, operations and maintenance, transportation, and working cash, are expected to end the year with $2.3 million in reserves. The education fund shows a $1.1 million surplus. That's because of the two prior year state categorical payments that were received this year. We still have a structural deficit of $1.2 million. But because of those additional revenue payments coming in from last fiscal year, it makes this year look good, said Hickman. In addition to general state aid, districts receive four categorical payments each year from the state to help pay for transportation and special education costs. Unit 5 is waiting on $2.7 million from the state for the transportation fund. Hickman said he felt hopeful about seeing an additional payment before June 30th. Because of that makeup, we can put money back in reserves for the education fund, but we'll need that money for next year, said Hickman. In other action, the board renewed its insurance plans, switching to a new broker that will save the district $428,124 in premium costs. The package includes coverage from Suburban School Cooperative Insurance Pool, One Beacon, Brokers Risk, and U.S. Fire Insurance Company for policies including property, commercial auto, general liability and crime, and umbrella coverage. The annual premium package will be about $785,885, a decrease of 35.3% from last year's premium of $1.2 million. We can use this $400,000 for other things in the district besides insurance, said Joe Edelman, Unit 5 Director of Operations. Tonight is a night to celebrate lots of huge savings in the district. We removed a lot of legal issues and got processes in order, and today we're seeing dividends from everyone's work. And here's another education story entitled, Career Center Tuition Remains Unchanged, by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. Tuition at the Bloomington Area Career Center will be unchanged for the 2018-19 school year, following approval of the tentative budget by the Bloomington District 87 School Board on Wednesday night. Tuition will remain at $1,300 for all programs except the Metals course taught at Heartland Community College, which is $1,400. The budget approved for the Bloomington Area Career Center shows projected total revenue of just under $1.7 million and projected total expenditures of just under $1.4 million. District 87 is the fiscal agent for the McLean-DeWitt Regional Vocational System, which includes the BACC. Tom Frazier, director of the BACC, told the board that projected enrollment for 2018-19 is 609 students, the highest he recalls. Several programs have waiting lists, he said. Of the projected 609 students, 110 to 115 will be at satellite locations, such as a cosmetology school. The rest will be at Bloomington High School. The Career Center serves students from 14 high schools. It's a positive challenge to try to accommodate more students, said Frazier. He said space was found at the high school to add another section for emergency medical technician students and an additional section for certified nursing assistant students was made possible by locating an additional clinical site. Last year, there were more than 140 CNA students, said Frazier. He said CNA students have a good track record of passing the state exam needed to become certified. In other action, the board approved an amended budget for fiscal 2018, which added a total of $750,000 in spending authority for the education, operations, and maintenance and transportation funds, and Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley said the money provides a cushion and legal authority to spend the money if necessary, but he does not expect the district to have to spend the money. If it isn't spent, it remains in the respective funds. Fiscal 2018 ends at the end of this month. The meeting was the last one for retiring Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum and Instruction, Cindy Helmers, who first came to the district in 1985 and has been an administrator since 1995. Riley said Cindy is leaving her mark on the district, and that will be felt for years to come. He said her legacy includes a popular summer STEM camp initiated last year for students interested in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And here's a story entitled, Developer Withdraws Proposed Bloomington Affordable Housing Complex, by Maria Nagel. Bloomington. A proposal to build 50 affordable housing units on city-owned property where the Coachman Motel once stood near downtown has been withdrawn. The housing deal has fallen through. They have withdrawn their application for this year, Mayor Terry Renner told the Pantograph on Wednesday. It may come back next year, and it may be in a different form. Laborers Home Development Corporation had proposed constructing a three-story, 50-unit complex on three lots in the 400 block of East Washington Street. The proposed project was being reviewed by the Illinois Housing Development Authority, and Renner said he did not know the outcome or whether it was a factor in the developer withdrawing its application. He referred questions about why the application was withdrawn to Laborers Home, which did not respond Wednesday to a Pantograph request for comment. The Springfield-based not-for-profit development company, an affiliate of the Laborers International Union of North America, has built about 1,000 housing units in the state, including senior and supportive living facilities. The Coachman site proposal, with a construction cost of $5 million to $6 million, was the third attempt by Laborers Home to obtain state approval for a Bloomington project, the company's Tim Ryan told local officials in January. Two previous proposals on the city's west side were rejected by the state because of location issues, according to Ryan. State Housing Authority officials also did not respond to a request for comment. The mayor was hopeful that the project, to be called the David Penn Apartments, would be resurrected in some form next year. It was predicated on the assumption that they get grant money, but they could apply for a new set of grants next year, said Renner. There could be a new set of circumstances. The project site has been included in the proposed downtown East Washington Street Redevelopment Tax Increment Finance District, which is still pending council approval. Laborers Home did not request TIF incentives for the apartment complex development. However, the city adopted a TIF redevelopment agreement in June 2017 with Iceberg Development Group, LLC of LaClair, Iowa, which has a project pending within the proposed TIF district. Iceberg plans to convert the second and third floors of the former Bloomington High School, 510 East Washington Street, into 58 apartments for people 55 and older, and lease spaces to commercial and nonprofit users on the first floor. Creation of the TIF district was placed on hold until the council could address whether it should adopt guidelines for how to use tax increment financing. The council has canceled its work session Monday so it can meet in a special voting session to possibly adopt a resolution spelling out those guidelines. The resolution was drafted in part to address Bloomington District 87's concern about the 23-year life of proposed TIF districts and the financial impact they would have on the school district. In a TIF district, the increase in property tax revenue generated by improvements in the district is diverted from the taxing bodies into a fund earmarked for economic development within the district. And here's a story in honor of Flag Day. Caring for one of Bloomington Normal's biggest flags, A Matter of Pride, by Derek Bay. Normal. Flying an American flag is a big responsibility, especially with a flag as big as Young America Realty's. We have America in our business name, and it seemed like a fun and patriotic thing to do, said General Manager Andy Netzer, of the 20-by-38-foot flag waving over traffic next to the company's office at 311 South Main Street, Normal. People really seem to love it, but it can be a handful. Since installing a 70-foot-tall flagpole that's visible as far south as Illinois Wesleyan University and as far north as Fairview Park, Young America has learned how much work is necessary to buy, fly, and maintain a 760-square-foot flag, said Netzer. The flags themselves last only a couple of months before they start to tear. We take it to a sewing shop and ask them to mend it, he said. We'll probably have to buy two new ones every year from attrition. Bigger means more wind strain, and it just wears it out. They cost $700 or $800 each. Employees also have to operate a crank to raise and lower the flag, including on days when it flies at half staff. Any bigger and it might interfere with traffic at half staff, said Netzer, though that's necessary less often because it's lit and stays up at night. He said the 300-watt LED light keeping the flag visible can light up the moon. At least one group appreciates the investment, the American Legion, whose two Bloomington Normal posts have offered to perform a ceremony for the flag that's still to be scheduled. "We're just trying to show appreciation for what they're doing," said Butch Eckstam, executive officer of Normal's American Legion Carl S. Martin Post 635, which partners with Bloomington's Lewis E. Davis Post 56. "We love how much they respect the flag." Eckstam said the posts hope to honor not only Young America's flag, but also a similarly sized flag at Freedom Oil at 1801 Towanda Avenue, Bloomington, and present an even bigger flag to the Normal Fire Department for their new headquarters station at 606 South Main Street, two blocks south of Young America's office. Netzer noted the company also is embracing the flag motif with a new logo to be rolled out this summer. He said he has only one regret about the flag after 9 months. "If I were doing it over, I'd probably go bigger," Netzer said with a laugh. "Maybe we could get another 20 or 30 feet out of it." And a sidebar tells us how to display your American flag. It is the universal custom to display the flag only from sunrise to sunset on buildings and on stationary flagstaffs in the open. However, when a patriotic effect is desired, the flag may be displayed 24 hours a day if properly illuminated during the hours of darkness. The flag should not be displayed on days when the weather is inclement, except when an all-weather flag is displayed. The flag should never touch anything beneath it, such as the ground, the floor, water, or merchandise. The flag should never be fastened, displayed, used, or stored in such a manner as to permit it to be easily torn, soiled, or damaged in any way. The flag, when it is in such condition that it is no longer a fitting symbol for display, should be destroyed in a dignified way, preferably by burning. American Legion posts take flags for disposal. And here is an item from today's Daily Digest entitled Yoga Day Celebration Saturday. Bloomington. International Yoga Day will be celebrated 8 to 9 a.m. Saturday in McGraw Park, 3202 Cornelius Drive, Bloomington. Participants are asked to arrive at 7:45 a.m. with a yoga mat and in loose, comfortable clothing, and ready to do yoga postures by 8 a.m. Instructors from different organizations will lead participants in postures for 40 minutes, breathing exercises for 10 minutes, meditation for 2 minutes, relaxation for 5 minutes, and concluding remarks. Registration is not required, and there is no fee to participate. And here's an item from the area calendar for today. Books to Benefit Preview Sale, 5 to 8 p.m. Thursday, Crossroads Mall, 360 Wiley Drive, Suite 700, Normal. Benefits Star Adult Literacy and Youth Build McLean County's Literacy Programs, $5. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for June 14th. Please stay tuned.